Blog Talk Radio.
Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
That's right, 347-637-3942. Welcome to the American Allegiance Show, brought to you by PNR, the Patriot Nation Radio Network. PNR, great guest. We have a full lineup now. We might have 2 days off, but we have incredible people. We stole from other networks. Well, no, actually, they volunteered. We had some openings, and we're happy to have them. Welcome. Another Wednesday. Just seems like it comes so fast, you know. You got to get ready, but here's what happened to me tonight. My original guest, I love this guest. He ran for governor of Virginia, but he could not make it. So I put together a show in spite of that. It's no big deal because he's running for office, another District 18, and he's talking about running for Senate. His name is Merle Rutledge, great guy. You see him on Facebook a lot. He's done a lot of videos. He's very concerned about the community, and I give him all the props and everything, great guests and everything, great philosophy on life, and he'd be a great governor of Virginia or a senator. He'd be awesome. And we did not get him. But I have something lined up just as good because it's just in time for what we're doing with the Afghanistan War, the one-year anniversary. In other news, Liz Cheney lost by 30 points. You know, there's something about somebody who doesn't fit into the demographics of the state they're in. And Wyoming is overwhelmingly Republican, and she is not really – she's a Republican by name, not by factions. And she's gone. It's hard to believe. That's a good thing. It's one of the things that, you know, the people will reject something when you act a certain way. If you're a politician, you don't follow what you think you're supposed to follow. You follow your own footsteps. And, you know, it doesn't help when your dad was Dick Cheney. Usually when people are children of somebody else, they're usually not the best people. Occasionally you get something like that, but then you get people are so spoiled and they think the world belongs to them. But I think this is one of those cases. But that's just my opinion. It doesn't really matter. So tonight we're going to talk about the Afghan War, one-year anniversary. And I'm going to have my guest on. His name is Mr. Robert Reinecker, Vietnam vet. Welcome to the show, Mr. Reinecker.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for your having me on.
Well, you're welcome, sir. My hat's off to all the Vietnam vets. They're always my heroes. They're the guys with the most ribbons in the military, so I appreciate that. Seriously, incredible. Yeah. Well, they did more than we did, that's what I have to say. So what do you know? I want your perception of Afghanistan, because I'm going to tell the audience right now, you can call me an Afghanistan expert. I know a lot of behind-the-scenes things because, not because I've been there, but because I work for a program. Since I formerly worked for the program, I'm okay to say that. But a lot of things I can't say, but there are things that I know I will mention in this broadcast about the exit and what was going on, what we left behind or what we perceived to leave behind, and everything like that. So what, Mr. Reinecker, what's your take on this
experience? You know, I'm trying to, let me see here, how to be politically correct here. The way we did it was wrong, our withdrawal. I mean, in my eyes, we left the people of Afghanistan hanging. And with the one-year anniversary, if you've been watching the news, you already see what's happening with the women as of just this past week. Anyone over, I think it's the age of 12, is not allowed to go to school. Because their place is not in school, it's in the home, you know. So I mean, that's just my opinion. I think we left the people out to hang. What about you?
Yes, that was the case. That was the biggest thing, you know, that was like, and that's something that we talked about. The people were the most important because we worked with people over there. We knew the people, some of those people. So it was kind of hard to take that. And there's like a loss thing for us, people in the program. It's something that was out of control. Everything kind of shifted the wrong way, and it was never meant to be that way. I'll just say that wasn't the plan that was set before the President Biden showed up. That was not the plan. It was the wrong date. Everything about it was like, what is going on? We were surprised when we heard about this stuff. So
yep.
It was a total disaster, and I think we'll talk about solutions later, what could have been done, because I have some pretty good ideas. And like I always tell everybody, I could have made a better exit plan than what happened, because that was crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, question, yeah.
You know, we were there 20 years, which is way too long. But, you know, like most wars, including Vietnam, we have no exit strategy. We know how to get in, but we don't know how to get out. And then what Biden did, you know, he thought he was appeasing the people. We're just getting out right now, you know. And there was 20 years, there was a whole generation that knew peace in school and, you know, everything like that. And now it's, you know, they just went 20 years back in time.
Right. And like here in Ohio, Wright State University, is probably as well as many other universities, they had this program, this exchange student program with Afghanistan. There's a lot of brilliant, intelligent people that live over there that are, you know, that's what they do. And they're side of the community and they contribute. And there's a lot of young students there. I'm pretty sure that's all gone now because I don't think they even have control of that airport. I remember, but there are like many, many airports in the country.
Right.
But that was the big one. That was the most important one, international, you know, and the military and everything in the U.S. So that was what was keeping the Taliban back and out of control. So one of the things that the very first thing, okay, that we saw was happening was wrong was the date, the timeline. We were supposed to be out by August 1st or May 1st. So it was May 1st. That's right. May 1st was the deadline, and the Taliban had an agreement with former President Trump that was going to be, you know, the time to get out. And the problem with that was they were, like, sleeping on it for a little bit. Because I remember when Lloyd Austin made a trip over there, and everybody was like, I'm thinking, well, there's no way you're going to get this done because he's just now figuring this out. It was like an emergency thing at the last minute instead of planning this and going by the timeline. So what that did is it triggered the Afghans, not the Afghans, but the Taliban, to go into you broke the rules mode, and that's what happened. That pretty much led, because they had this thing all figured out. Now, after they left, what could they have done? Well, there was other plans in place, and, you know, eventually it may not have worked, but we had them at bay. What happened there in the streets should never have happened. They should never have gotten there. So, unfortunately.
Yep.
But that's the way it crumbled.
Yep. It's the way we got out, like you say, is, you know, granted we had timelines, but that was with, like you say, President Trump. Biden, you know, said, well, we had a timeline, we're getting out without, you know, thinking of the consequences of just leaving the way he did, you know, the equipment alone, the billions of dollars of equipment, military equipment, helicopters, everything, you know, we just left it. We walked away.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Well, yeah, that's another area. But, you know, I'll just tell you right now, code 3 is the word. I'll just say that.
Right. Yeah.
Code 4.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what does that mean? Code 3, broke. So you really, it's not, you get what you get, right? So, and and all that stuff. But just like any FMS stands for foreign military sales. No secret about that. Nothing classified here. FMS is foreign military sales when you work with other countries. And what they have is theirs. It's not ours. Just want to put that out there. We never owned it. It's their stuff. And frankly, it's not anything we use in the Air Force. So it's all their own custom stuff. So I'm not really worried about that. And you know, there are things that happen. As you saw on TV, they were destroying aircraft before the Taliban got there. And it's kind of sad because, you know how you get with aircraft. You know the tail numbers and you know the people.
Yeah.
And the planes become real. They become some kind of entity that's alive to you. And that's one of the things that devastated me as well. So, blood, sweat, and tears.
I said, you put your blood, sweat, and tears in getting those machines to work, you know, to fly, make its mission, and just to watch it, like you say, it's pretty sad. Pretty sad.
Yeah, it was. It's kind of surreal. You saw the pictures and the videos of what's going on, and they've taken it over. And I'm very surprised they got a helicopter to fly. I don't know about that.
Right.
but you see these things on the news, and they were supposed to only get they weren't supposed to get in the city, but Biden gave them the whole airport, everything but the airport.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the other blunder, the flaw that would keep, they just took it from the city. That's all they did. There's no consequences.
Yep. Nope.
And then we got 13 Marines killed or military people killed at the same time.
Exactly. Yep, exactly.
And it was unnecessary.
Yeah.
And they were taken.
Nope.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna get real here right now. Okay. Why would you negotiate with the Taliban on leaving? Why would you even consult them and trust them as the police? So my theory is I don't believe there was an ISIS A. I think it was all Taliban. I never heard of ISIS A. Was it the A team of ISIS? I don't know what that means.
Yeah. I tend to agree with you on that. Yeah.
Yeah, because sometimes things are said the same face. Just my opinion. The weird thing. Just like they killed that terrorist in Afghanistan recently, and then there's like photos of the same guy being killed like back in 90 something. So it's the same person getting killed twice.
That's true. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah.
So some of this is propaganda. In my opinion, and because this is like the worst thing, the very first event of your presidency, this is the worst thing that could ever have happened, period. I mean, I can't think of anything worse. And they knew it was coming. Everybody knew it was coming. It was going to happen, and they just didn't. And then they're talking about all the people, everybody got out, almost everybody. But I can tell you right now they didn't.
Mm-hmm. No, it's true.
It didn't happen. And so, unfortunately, people that we work with are probably not alive anymore, just, guessing. I don't know. I don't know the details.
Right.
But there's so many consequences on the other side, and they have a lot of rare earth minerals over there that China probably took over already and everything else. There's a lot of things in Afghanistan, a lot of resources that we don't have here. And that might be part of the chip shortage as well. I understand that's related. That's why it takes you months to get a car now. Incredible.
Yep.
So we're feeling that here in this country.
Yeah. Like I say, the void we left China's, from my opinion and what I read, is stepping up and, they're getting all the minerals and all that. And right now they're probably paying the Taliban off. I'm not sure how they're in there doing what they are other than paying, money talks.
Right. You're right. Exactly. And then we also got to see the ugly side of the Afghan government with, the tons of cash and gold in the, you know, the prime minister's office or whoever the leaders were, all the money they were getting from the U.S., probably half of it was going to them. But that's okay, because we've been to countries like that before. I mean, that's expected, really. We just do it more subtly here in this country. You know what I mean?
We did
the money laundering in different countries. Yes.
Yeah. Did the same in with Iraq and stuff, you know, all the money, you know. Yeah, it's there, like you say, you know. It's just money for that's there, but it could be used elsewhere as far as I'm concerned.
Right, and you remember when they gave, Iran, cargo loads of money, of cash. I can't remember the amount. I can't remember. It was millions of dollars, but this is the same guy, the same administration. But we have no idea. We don't know what he did everywhere else with other people with this program. I don't know. Maybe he's working with the Chinese.
Yeah.
So many rumors out there that he's, you know, that's what he did.
That's true.
It's true.
It's all muddled. I mean, it really is. You just don't know. You think you know, then, like you say, there's just so many rumors, so many things you read or hear, and, it is muddled. It's confusing, and I probably think they made it that way.
Right. And making, you know, excuses for why they didn't pick everybody up. So that should have been a huge priority, because there's a lot of people. Okay. Yeah, okay. So they got all the records from everybody who worked on the base. Somehow they were given to the Taliban. So, that's the end. That is like treason. That's
It would be here.
That's like, you know, like it's like PII and stuff like that, personal information, and you're putting people in danger.
Yeah.
All their families. You know, some of them have a lot of kids and everything, and that's their death warrant. But so you're not helping anybody. Nobody that actually benefited from this, except for the people who got on the plane that had no credentials. You had to have visas to get on the plane, and you know, nobody knows. And now they're in Wisconsin raping people. Some of them were caught. You know, they're all over the place. Nobody knows who they are. So there's a lot of bad elements over there to begin with, even without the Taliban there. So
they were supposed to be vetted when they went to Qatar or Qatar, but what does that mean, vetted? You know, like you said, they're probably just got it, put them on the airplane and got them out of there.
Yeah, on a military transport. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me either. But you know, they had to do what they had to do because they were right there at the gate. That's the problem. If they were not inside the city, they weren't conceited about that, then they would have had everything. They would have vetted everybody in place.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, it's the Swiss cheese all lined up. Okay, we say that in the aviation world. The Swiss cheese lined up.
Yeah.
All the holes were perfectly aligned, and everything fell through. It was supposed to be on a solid foot. So that's the problem. So let's talk about management. How do you manage something like this? How did this even happen? Because we saw that lieutenant colonel that was actually punished because he was trying to do the right thing, tell the truth, and get the troops out, and get everybody out.
Yeah.
So how do you manage? How would you manage that operation? I mean, it's not impossible, but I think it could have happened successfully, and I just don't see how this I can't believe this many things like with the Swiss cheese actually happened like it did.
Yeah.
They just fell apart. Vietnam.
No, I was going to say it's a lot like Vietnam. You got people that just were climbing the fences and the buildings to get on that last flight out. You know, they weren't vetted either, you know, but again, we left people hanging back in Vietnam, just like we did here. You know, people that worked for the American government, you know, some got out, most probably didn't.
All right. That's pretty credible. So we have a caller on the line. Caller, could you identify yourself, please?
Yeah, my name's Joe. I saw your description page, and you're talking about the pros and cons of having left Afghanistan. I know the cons of it, but I'd like to know what the pros are.
Well, I don't know. Would you like to answer that? I could probably tell you a couple things. I think one of them is a presence in the region and the rare earth minerals and you're talking about the okay. If they did it the right way, we still probably have access to that. And I would tell you about my solutions that would actually make that happen. That could happen, and be a constant presence with an enclave, probably of F-18s, F-16s, or whatever you put on there on that base, because it's a full facility, you know, area, and you can get anything in there and out. They fly through there, used to fly through all the time, commercial people and, you know, the airlines and all the military stuff goes through there. So it was already, the facilities were perfect for that. So that's just another, that would have been like a traffic stop for a lot of people. And you could, you know, position fighters there and have, you know, they also had guards around the whole place too. So all that stuff, if it would stay in place, would have worked out really well. And the guards are not Americans. A lot of them are foreigners.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been
the
advantage.
I don't see any of that being pro. That would have meant that we would have stayed in Afghanistan. Well, let me rephrase that. I don't say we. The Pentagon would have stayed in Afghanistan against the will of the people there. Now, they've termed those people insurgents as opposed to freedom fighters. When you invade somebody else's land, as the Pentagon did, they're not insurgents. They are freedom fighters. A lot of Americans have died thinking that they were doing something very, very good, when in fact the poor vets were duped into becoming, you know, the invaders of another land. And when the Pentagon went over there, the poppies were at something like 10%. Because the Taliban didn't like heroin being distributed around the world. And after a while, the Pentagon got the poppy fields up to 90% production. So
absolutely.
I don't see us being there as being good, because, again, the Pentagon would have stuck its nose in somebody else's business. And instead of trying to relieve the pressure over there, the Pentagon went over there for its own selfish reasons, just like the Russians did, and leaving behind $65 billion worth of military equipment. That's not just a boondoggle. That had to have been done on purpose. You can't leave $65 billion behind by accident.
Right, right. I agree with you. But the solution wouldn't be Americans. There were foreigners over there that were willing to be that force. So it didn't have to be us. And I don't think the Americans should be over there. But the way we set it up, there weren't going to be an over there, the original plan. But this just turned ugly real quick. You're right about – I totally get what you're saying. Premise behind the reason we were there wasn't good. The Russians, they did the same thing for 10 years. And if you look at the airplanes over there, you can even look this up on the web, you'll see all the Russian wreckages of their aircraft and, you know, condemned aircraft all over all these other airfields. So they experienced the same thing. It didn't work for them. And it really comes down to the heart of the Afghan people and the willingness to fight for what they have. And that's pretty much what it is.
Yeah.
But the reason why a lot of this didn't work is because it's a very tribal. It doesn't matter if you're a colonel or a sergeant. If you're in the right tribe, then you are the boss. So it was like kind of like a mess that was never going to work. That structure of the military doesn't apply to their culture. And that was one of the big problems they had. So when the Taliban came, the army gave up. And, you know, because if they're from a different tribe, a higher tribe, then what are you going to do? You can't go against them. Same thing with the military guys that are, you know, the Air Force guys and all that stuff. They just fled. They didn't really have the heart like we do. We're just like Europe doesn't have the same heart we have. If you work with NATO at any time, you know, they got the planes, they got this and that and the other, but they don't have the same drive. They're not as anal as we are in the United States because we have to be. They don't really have to be because guess what? We are NATO. The truth is there's no NATO without us. So do you have any more comments?
Yeah. Right.
Go ahead.
I guess not. I guess you want to get back to the show and express yourself the way that you feel is necessary for your audience. So, no, that's all I have to say.
You can say anything you want. I have no problem with that.
Now, I wanted to find out about Afghanistan, and I don't like the idea that America is imperialistic, that he goes over to other countries and sticks his nose in other countries' businesses, and is not there to be the police chief. Because if it were, with our capability of being the superpower, we would have resolved any conflict whatsoever. But it's in our best interest
right.
to keep conflict going. So,
Well,
that's just mine.
I'm glad you brought that up because this is the first, our last administration is the first one that we didn't do that unless something was provoked. But we have all these, like the Bushies and all these other people, they wanted to get into this is the reason why we're here, you know, that we were in Afghanistan. Do we need to be over there? I agree with you. No, we don't. We didn't. I mean, I know there's nefarious reasons maybe behind it because of the poppy seeds and everything or the rare earth. I don't know. Why did Russia go there? I don't know. I don't know the history behind that.
Well,
I agree.
Presume that they went there for, for the $1 trillion worth of minerals that are in Afghanistan.
Right.
Same reason that I presume we went over, not we. They went over there.
Yes, right. Yeah, just like Vietnam, you know. Why did we go there? You know, wars make money.
That's a good question, because I'd like to know myself.
So, my
wish I could answer
here,
it. I was there twice.
You were there twice?
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, two tours. I wish I could answer it, too, yeah. I went because
I
was told to go, but, you know, the politics,
that's
you know,
right.
was above
and
me.
I served during the Nam era. I wasn't in country. You were, so I'm glad that you got back alive. But the thing
I was in Thailand most of my time.
Was that any safer?
Yeah, on and off. On and off, where our base was, as a B-52 maintenance, and we were about 80 miles from Cambodia, and we had what was called the CTs or communist terrorists, and they hit our base about three times. I wasn't there at any of the times it was, so it was safer.
Like I said, I'm glad you're back. The thing is that there wasn't anything that we could have gotten from Vietnam other than the fact that any war makes money for defense contractors. Are you guys familiar with the book,
right.
War is a Racket by Smedley Butler?
I've heard of it, yes. And yes, I see that. Well, I can see that.
Yeah. Well, Smedley Butler was a two-time Congressional Medal of Honor winner. He was a general. And he figured out that the reason for World War One and World War Two was mainly to make DuPont and the defense contractors at that time very rich.
Yeah, and you get a lot of development from that as well, and that's how they get more money in the future.
Yeah. I mean, what's the use of having a defense contractor like Boeing and General Electric, et cetera, if you're not going to have a war, because if they're going to continue to make war materials and they can't use them up, like the bombs, the bullets, and the guns, then they go out of business. Nobody, you know, if they can't have repeat business, they go out of business.
Right. That's your F-22s, F-20, F-35s, all that stuff is for the next war. So sometimes you got a long, you know, in between wars where things go stagnant and then you have another war and then, well, this will work in the next war. And they always develop, always developing. So I don't want to get my conspiracy hat on, but they're always developing, of course. And it's like a race against all these other countries and all the other enemies. So China versus Russia. You know, I want your take on this war we have right now, or what we're supporting over there in Ukraine. That's what I really want to hear from the caller. Thank you.
Well, for me, conflict again. We're teetering and on the brink of nuclear war, and I don't know if we'll have it. If we do, then I don't think it'll be a full-fledged nuclear war. Because if we do have that, then the whole world just evaporates in about a couple of seconds. But if we do have a limited nuclear war, let's say Russia fires nukes over at Taiwan and the United States nor the UK nor Britain nor France, since we're NATO, they don't respond. So what will happen is that the nuclear fallout of the destruction of Taiwan will reach up into the atmosphere and will be carried around by currents. And the wind currents will eventually drop down cancer-forming radioactivity. That, to me, would be worse than a full-fledged nuclear war, because at least I'd be vaporized in a second. But with this,
right,
millions of people can get tumors in a few years and create worldwide suffering.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's funny you said that. There was an article I read today, and I wish I would remember the numbers, but they said if anything like that happened, the majority of the billions of people were going to die of starvation, not because of the nuclear fallout as far as the radiation, but the fact that we'll have a nuclear winter and nothing will ever grow.
Yeah.
Well,
that too.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we're going to have it, but, I personally believe, because of the madness that's going on in the world, and the fact that governments are taking carbon dioxide out of the air with this climate change nonsense. If you take carbon dioxide out of the air, the environment, the earth dies, because the earth, the trees won't have carbon dioxide. They won't produce oxygen. And people don't know this, but from what I've read, the oceans, the algae in the oceans, they produce more oxygen than trees do. So they're cutting down trees. They're taking carbon dioxide out of the air. So as far as I'm concerned, they're terraforming the planet. And why would they do that?
A good question.
Good point.
I think
here's my answer. Because of aliens. I don't have proof of it. I've heard other people talk about the Anunnakis, however they want to term it, and the green ones and the silver ones. I don't know about that. I think they've glommed on to alien theories, science fiction. But when you take a look at the dots, taking carbon dioxide out of the air, cutting down trees, deliberately, for example, Biden signing something like 53 executive orders in something like 30 days. The way that the earth is being formed now, being contrived to have potentially a nuclear war. Why would we have this? If the nuclear war was limited, why would we have the shaping of the planet? Bill Gates is talking about putting bubbles up in the atmosphere, and or not just chemtrails to blot out the sun, but these science fiction type bubbles in order to blot out the sun. If we do that, we don't have sun. Yeah, we don't have sunshine. Humans need sunshine. Humans need oxygen. if you take that away, then what other conclusion can you come to than what the hell's going on? Who benefits from this? It's not humans.
Yeah, you're right. It's not. It can't be. Well, unless it's people that have their own sunshine somewhere on like Evil Island or something. I don't know.
Well, supposedly there are cities that are built into mountains and cities that are buried underneath the land in order to keep military personnel and certain other personnel, rich people, in case something happens. But if you're going to have that,
yeah, right,
yeah. You can't have artificial sunshine that's going to last, you know, forever. Where are you going to get your fresh water from if there's nuclear fallout? Where are you going to get your sunshine from? Where are you going to get
your food? What about your?
Yeah,
yeah, right. Yeah, that's exactly. But, that is. I'm surprised they haven't arrested him yet. You know, all the stuff that he said and that is untrue. I really am. You know, you arrest him because he's crazy. You know, you're gonna block out the sun. You're a billionaire,
yeah.
Probably a trillionaire, and you have these plans for depopulation. Oh no, I mean, in a sane world, that's what happened. But
yeah.
It's not happening. He's allowed
right.
to do this, that, and the other. Oh yeah. By the way, we're having COVID. We're having this virus that's coming. Then he predicted the smallpox. Like, I mean, it was a year before. It was a few months before we got the COVID. He predicted it. He talked about it. Fauci did the same thing. And then this year he talked about the pox. And guess what? We got the pox. So
yeah.
This is a guy. Obviously, he's behind something. Really? Come on.
Of course. I mean, and who gives him the authority to do this anyway? Why would
right.
he be in charge of anything or be an advisor towards that end? And have you heard about the new cricket burgers? You know, the WEF is advocating that everybody on the planet eat bugs, and now they've got,
yeah.
I think, what is it, Burger King or McDonald's? I forget which one. And maybe it's Jack in the Box. One of those chains. They're coming out with cricket burgers.
Yeah, I heard something about that. I read that somewhere a couple of days ago, and just like Gates has potato farms now. I mean, they're taking over all these farms, and they're going to put whatever they want into it. And I did see that somebody said, hey, they're putting crickets. They're putting crickets in the food, some of the food. I guess, no,
yeah,
nobody
I forgot
knows,
who it was
know.
Too, yeah. Yeah, no one knows.
So,
yeah, that's it. That's
yeah.
the whole point.
Yeah. So how does it benefit human beings to eat crickets, to have to teeter on the brink of nuclear warfare, to take carbon dioxide out of the air, thereby reducing oxygen? How does it benefit us?
I don't think it doesn't matter if it benefits us. It benefits somebody.
No.
They wouldn't do it if it didn't benefit itself, my
yeah.
opinion.
You
right.
hit on something a little bit ago. You hit on something a little bit ago about contracts and all that. You know, it wouldn't put it past these people. One guy's going to come up and do all this stuff like bubbles. Then another guy will come up and make money taking care of what the other person just
yeah,
did.
Yeah, right.
You know, just do this round robin. Yeah.
Create
yeah.
the problem, have a solution.
Right.
Yeah.
If you ever
yeah,
read
make
the book,
money on both
sides.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Economic Hitman by John Perkins. He was an ex-CIA. He's a CIA whistleblower. And his particular job was to go into different countries and to coerce them into taking on loans from the United States government for the purpose of redeveloping their country. But the catch was, To redevelop your country, you had to hire American, contractors. And if you didn't, then the second phase of the plan would be enforced, and that would be what he called the jackals. The dictators didn't want the loans and didn't want the Americans to be there. Then eventually, they would get assassinated.
Yes.
So
exactly. That happened.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we live in crazy times. And in any case, you guys probably want to get back to the topic of the show, so I'm going to let you guys – I'm going to put myself on mute.
Okay.
Thanks
for the call.
Sure.
Where are you from, sir? What state are you from? Let's see. I think he's gone now.
Yeah. You know, I saw a movie, granted, it was just a movie, a Steven Seagal movie just the other day. And what it was about a company in Alaska, oil company. And what they did, the same company had a subsidiary company. So any oil that got spilled, they hired their own people to clean it up. So that's kind of what I was talking about. You know, you create a problem, you fix the problem.
Yeah.
Making money on both ends of it. Yeah, both ends.
Well, what do you know? We have a solution for it. Yeah, it's an industry. It's a vicious cycle. And this is an anniversary thing. If this comes back, this is coming back to bite, right?
Yeah.
They want to distract everybody from this anniversary, doing anything they can by passing a bill or you know, raiding the Mar-a-Lago office. Think about whatever happens, because this is not like you can't highlight it. You can't do anything about it. This is the disaster that unfolded on its own, and it showed its ugly face. You know how they say, your baby's ugly. You know what I'm talking about. That's what happened.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know what that one is about. Yeah.
Oh, my God. You have an ugly baby.
Yeah.
I just saw a patch that has – there's a patch like that, by the way. I'll just send you a picture of it. I'll take a picture of it for you. So these are the things that are not American values. They're not international values. They're just haphazard, you know. Let's make up what we're going to do. Let's not take anything through. You know, we don't care about the safety of the people, the pilots, the military guys who were killed, the citizens. I think your number one, if you're going to do something like that, your number one concern should be the citizens first. Your military guys are trained to take care of themselves, but you can't negotiate with, just like you, somebody comes to your house and robs it. What are you going to do? Hey, let's negotiate a little bit. Why don't you, the way you come in, the way you do, that's exactly what happened. That's what went on. You can't negotiate with a pit bull that's going to attack you. That's exactly what happened.
Yep. Yep.
And you get bit, right? You get bit.
Yeah.
You have no control. And then you go back and tell everybody everything's okay. And that's a disservice to our servicemen, to the people over there. And, you know, just think about it. 1 minute, everything's going well. Next thing you know, they're on the streets, like you said, patrolling everybody and keeping the women out of schools, the girls out of schools. And there was there's a video on not that long ago. For a little bit of research I did, of some woman talking back to the Taliban, and they executed her right on the street. That's what kind of world they live in now.
Yep.
So,
well, you know,
and there was
once
a lot,
we got.
Well, go ahead.
Once we got Bin Laden, then we should have formed some kind of an exit strategy, because I know they used that as part of their reason for going in Afghanistan. You know,
right.
And but then, as I said earlier, the exit strategy, they were working on it, but, you know, we were there a lot longer after we got rid of Bin Laden.
That was a Bushy enterprise, by the way. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that's the game. And then the Cheney thing. That's why I brought up Liz Cheney at the beginning of the show, because that was Bush-Cheney. And I think, you know, think about it. Bush, it looks like Alfred E. Newman. He's not a bad-looking guy, right? But Cheney, you could tell he didn't belong there. He's like,
yeah,
they made me pick him, kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
So, and then we know he's part of that war industry kind of thing, and everybody knows that. I mean, that's And, you know, they did whatever they could to make that happen and, you know, put us in Iraq and all the stuff that happened over there. That was all based on something that wasn't really true. So talking about all those weapons of mass destruction and everything. And I, you know, mm-hmm. I know people that died over there that I used to work with.
Yep.
I worked with a guy at Rickenbacker, two people from Rickenbacker. Yeah, that one was a pilot. I think it was OB-10 pilot, and the other guy was an Army lieutenant. He used to be an age guy, by the way, but he joined the Army and was going to law school and everything. And it was, if you think about it, was it really necessary? Did we have to do this? Did that have to happen?
Yeah.
There are consequences. And these are just people that I know, and it's just the same thing in Afghanistan. People there that know people, and I do know some people that didn't make it over there.
Well,
for
Sonnenberg.
Whatever. Yes, right.
Yeah, Sonnenberg, yeah.
Yeah, Sonny Sonnenberg.
That's someone we both know, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've had a couple of people on my program. We talked about that, what happened that day, and I'm very happy they named the building after him. They're honoring him, but, you know, that doesn't bring him back.
No.
Well, you know, that's the reason. Yeah, that's why we went to Turkey. I went to Turkey 6 times. You went to Turkey because
yeah.
of that war.
Exactly.
Yeah, so there's a lot of consequences, and unfortunately, we can't turn back the clock. However, we can learn from these things. I think that's the biggest thing about this incident is we should have learned from Vietnam and other wars. This kind of imploded on its own.
Yep.
And what did we learn? It's like, okay, whatever the plan is, we have great military strategists, and we could have had, if they followed the original plan, I think everything would be fine now. We wouldn't have seen what we saw. And you have, you know, we have a Secretary of Defense. He's there. And what happened, I mean, I don't understand that the strategy wasn't there. I think it was just so quickly done. It was pushed. And things are making no sense because decisions were made at the last minute. And if you do things like that, and that's the same thing in life, you can't make things happen in the last minute without knowing all the consequences. And things like that don't work because things have to be planned. That's the military way. You know everything. When a pilot goes up, he already knows what the target is. He knows where he's going to go. And if things change, then you change with it. But this never happened. This is like, well, let's bring the planes in. Let's just take off. And, you know, Taliban are our friends. We're going to let them, you know, they're going to help us out. And I can't believe he actually said, I can't believe, it's like, my mom's like, what? You're negotiating with a terrorist? And these aren't like, these aren't like buzzing off the street. These are terrorists. They don't care if they kill you. They'll kill anybody. They'll blow people up. They're going to help us out. What in the world are you thinking? These people are heartless.
Yeah, when,
they don't care about your life.
When they were saying, you know, well, we're going to leave it as is, you know, the women will have their rights and all that. Everybody. I don't know of a single person who believed that.
Right. They did. They fell for it. Oh, no, they're helping us out. But the real enemy is people that don't exist called ISIS-A.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Where did you get that from? Either you're ISIS or you're not. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah.
So, oh, no, this is your real enemy. And it was so embarrassing. So that's what we saw. That's what other countries saw. That's the thing that I like to get back to. Other countries saw this happen and were thinking, oh, okay, well, wow. So now we're supporting Ukraine, where in Ukraine they have a small air force, small army. They think they have a chance against the Russian Federation. But we keep giving them billions of dollars. For what? So I saw that, I can't remember, Green Yeah. Congressman Green. I can't remember her name. She has a three-letter name. I can't remember. Anyway, she was talking on the floor saying that, hey, wait a minute. Only 30% of the money you put over there made it there. And you're talking about tens of billions of dollars. So she's looking into this. She wants to look into it. So find out what's going on. But you know, some people get kickbacks and bribes. And you know how that happens. So many people saw him on the talking about the CFR where he was holding $100 billion and he was bribing the people and it was really, and it's on tape, but it's okay though. Nobody cares. So
yeah.
We don't really know what's going on. Who's getting the money? We don't know. We have no idea.
Know.
No transparency, but it's okay because you undo everything. Now we're going places trying to get the oil. And this is like a consequence. We're trying to get oil from Saudi Arabia, where we have more oil than they do, number one.
Right.
You're begging for something you don't need because you think climate change is bad here if we use oil, but what about over there? You don't care about the world. Obviously, it doesn't make any sense. So oil is renewable, by the way, and we have more oil than everybody. And it takes oil and everything else that you hate, that they hate, to charge their cars. Electric cars are not the answer. Windmills are not the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Windmills take a lot of oil. They'll burn up. They've got fuel in them too. So,
yeah.
So, you can't live in a fantasy world. You can't fly a fighter jet with battery power. You know, airliners.
Nope.
You can't. Our economy doesn't work that way. And yep. We have clean. And you know, you could probably testify too. You've been overseas where you saw the city and just dark clouds of smoke hanging over them.
Yep.
Actually, we've seen that. It's like, what in the world is that? So you go to, it used to be that way a little bit in Pittsburgh, way back in the 70s. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, back in the day. Yeah, yeah. I was going to school
but
there
it's not
at
like that
time,
anymore.
Yeah.
Okay,
nope.
All right. So nope. Even today, we want to have all these, like, whatever they're called, tokens, I know, climate change tokens. We want to go, we want to say, we're not going to produce this much energy with this oil, the dirty oil and the fracking and everything. However, go on the other side of the world. China's like that. It's just like clouds of dust,
yep.
Dirt, smoke over the cities. So we're not the people that are causing this problem. I've seen it firsthand. It's incredible. You can literally see
yep.
It, a black smog because of the factories. They don't have the same regulations we have. We have pretty clean air
yep.
Here. We have, and this is what I don't get because, you know, you talk about the environment. And I think we do an excellent job. We keep the trees. We let the sunshine in. We have abatements for our factories and everything. The people that are, we say, are causing that, or the cars, or whatever you want to call it, but the emissions are really low. My 58 Mercedes puts out a lot more emissions than my new car
no.
Does.
Well,
you come along.
You know,
way.
I mentioned this. I sent it to you in a text one time about how the current administration, Biden, is pushing for electric. Right. Every
right.
Weekend he flies from Washington to Delaware.
Yeah. Right.
And don't quote me on the number, but it was like just as one flight alone will do like four cars for a year in
wow,
you know, petroleum, you know, something like that on that order. So, you know, he's talking in my mind on both sides of his mouth, you know, get electric cars, but I'm going to go up to Delaware and fall off my bike, you know, but.
Right. Right. So I see, oh, by the way, the guy that calls is from Los Angeles. Just by
oh,
you
cool.
Know, I looked up the number. Yeah. So, yeah, this program goes around, actually, other countries as well. You never know what
oh,
you're going to get. Let's see. So you're planning for something that's never going to happen. And my biggest question is, how is money going to help the climate? How does that work? How does that even make any sense? Yeah. So they're taxing everybody. Your taxes are going to go up.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone has to, every country has to want to do it. Like you say, we can throw money, like you say, at it. Our air is a lot cleaner than China. They don't care.
Yeah.
They're making money on us. You know, we're the ones buying all their goods.
Walmart.
Yeah.
You know, what's the other company? Amazon.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff comes from there. I'm not saying it's wrong, but yeah, you're right. I mean, this is this industry. Why abate anything when you don't have to? There's no rules there. But there are here, but they're not worried about China. Nobody cares. It's like Russia. Like, you've seen, I don't know if you see the MiG-29s up close. And this is what Ukraine has. They have MiG-29s. They have the dumbed down version because nobody's going to give you their number one aircraft. They're capable.
Right.
So they have the bare bottom, so more MiG-29s won't help them at all. They can't fight Russia. Look how big Russia is compared to that little tiny slice of pizza they live on.
Yeah,
it's impossible. They don't have the technology.
Yeah.
The pilots, Russian pilots train them. But they know their tactics. There's no way they can win. They have superior jets. But their MiG-29s, I was getting back to what I was saying, they look like, remember the old F-4s? When they take off, it's just like billowing black. But that's what their planes are like. And that's what they're flying today. That's what they're flying in Ukraine. And it is, I haven't seen that for years. But I remember when that's the way our Air Force was. We were way back in the day, we were like that. But they're still like that now. That's how they live. I mean, that's to us is like, wow, that's crazy. But keep the
you're talking about talking about Russia. Yeah, right now it's only conscripts they're sending into Ukraine. They haven't really sent in their their regular army, so to speak. You know, it's all conscripts that they could care less if they die or not. In my opinion.
Yes. Yes. And some of these countries, as people don't know, they survive on bribes and families feeding them. Some of these military guys, conscripts, they don't get any money. They don't get anything. They just have the uniform and they have to survive on their own. So you're not really, because you're not really in the military. It's like something you do for 2 years and you get out and you go to college or whatever you're going to do. And a lot of countries, only the people from the lowest parts of status in society get in the military, and the upper class people never serve. They get out. Or get so many different ways, but the point is, yes, you're right. So they send in the B team for that. So don't be fooled. There's no way Ukraine can fight Russia. And just look over the fence. Look how many miles and bases and aircraft are on the other side. There's no way. They have no chance. Why are we sending billions of dollars, tens of billions of dollars over there? What's that going to do? So there's something else behind that, I'm pretty sure. And that's why Marjorie Taylor Greene, I remember it now, MTG, that's why she's questioning it in Congress. They call her the honey badger, because most people don't have the guts to do what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
To question all this stuff. She's a friend of, I have friends that are friends with her. And I've been on a couple of things that she did, and it's like, she is fearless. She's never been in the military. Like, military guys are blunt. I like that, though. But she is too. But she's trying to get thought. Those are the kind of people I like. I like to have her in my program. I can probably make it happen. But I like people who are asking questions. It's like, one of the guys I was going to invite tonight was actually Randy Purim, and he's running for Congress in Alaska. He's on the campaign right now. He didn't have time to come on tonight. But he says things like, you know, he understands, because he was an Army Sea Bernie guy. Right, which is a job I probably would like to have. That's chemical worker stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he was saying there are things that the congressmen do And I agree with him that they have no security clearances. They're just given to them. They have no investigations, congressmen and senators. That's why we have these Chinese spies driving your car or a girlfriend, Swalwell, and all this stuff. That would never have happened. You know, the military people go through everything. The defense contractors, they got to do the – it took me 6 months to get my top secret when I had it. The secret is easy. The top secret is a pain. But my point is, I don't have access to the things they do. This is our government. I think this is one of the big problems we have in Washington, D.C., besides the fact that they should only be there like 1 week a year. I mean, they're making careers out of this. They're making like 140-some thousand. And that's just to begin
with. But they're all millionaires.
Insider trading. Yes, the insider trading. And I think the original Constitution says you can't be in Congress or the Senate if you're an attorney. I think that's a downfall as well. So there's so many rules they're breaking. Just like the last bill they passed, this economic disaster bill, which there's no relief at all. You're spending more money than you have. That was actually originated in the Senate. And according to the Constitution, it has to always originate in the Congress. So they did it backwards. It's the same exact way they did Obamacare. The same exact. That is a false sequence that is unconstitutional. It could be overturned if somebody pushed it. But that's the kind of people we have. You know, the people are making these bills that nobody knows who makes it. I mean, they're just coming out of nowhere. Nobody introduces it. Nobody's behind that name. It's not anybody's bill, just like Obamacare. No, it just showed up.
Yep.
So they had to recall everybody to come in and actually, you know, vote on it, something they never looked at, never read. There's no read receipts or anything. It's just chaos. So
yep,
who's the author? We don't know.
Yep. Well, it's true. When you question them, which I have, I've questioned some of the politicians about their, why are they staying in 40 years or whatever? And they, talk about term limits. They say, you don't need term limits. All you got to do is, you know, you go to the polls, American decides. No, they don't. Money talks again. The person who spends the most money, has the most visible on TV in the ads, usually always wins.
Right. Yes. People go by name recognition. It's easy. You know, it's just, I think that TV taught us that. I think television is a big part of how we vote. It's like a popularity contest, like in school. So instead of, nobody cares about the issues. The class president, nobody cares. He's not going to do anything. I just like this guy. And that's exactly what's happening right now in politics. Until they get in there, they turn things around, or they don't do anything. They do things against the will of the people, like Liz Cheney did her last term. That right there. So now they got the balance off. So that right there, what she did against the people of Wyoming, think about it. Those people wanted her out bad because they didn't want anything to do with her because she went against everything they believed in. And that's not a state. It's 4-1 Republican. They don't put up with that stuff.
No, she was doing her own agenda. She was doing her own agenda, period, not what the people wanted.
Right. It's the same thing with Afghanistan. Your agenda is not mine. I think it's kind of nefarious why it was done that way. Like the caller said, almost done on purpose.
Yeah.
I don't know if you said that.
Yeah.
That's what I see, because nothing makes sense. When things don't make sense on a military operation, something's not right.
Yeah.
Something is definitely not right in this, in something that doesn't sound right in Denmark, whatever state. My wife knows that. I don't.
Yeah.
But, I don't see how this, I've never seen an operation this bad. So let's talk about solutions.
Yep.
What would you have done?
Well, first of all, if I got my numbers right, all we had left in the country is what, 2,500 troops? Does that sound right, Kat?
There were, no, there were, they all left on one at 3 a.m. on Monday.
Before the withdrawal, when we were starting to take people out
like
on their own, it was like 2,500 troops was keeping peace.
Yeah.
Only because the Taliban and everyone knew that on a moment's notice that 2,500 could be, 5,000 in a minute, or, with overnight. Now, I'm not saying we should have stayed there. I'm not condoning that at all. But what I'm saying is if 2,500 people can keep stability till we got our act together to get out of there, and it didn't. We're going back to where we started at. 2,500 people kept stability, and then all of a sudden, everything was evaporated in basically one day, one move,
Right. Yes. I think that was the downfall because, those 2,500 all left overnight, 3 a.m. in the morning.
Yep.
Like a week or two before. And you didn't have the same numbers there during the evacuation. That would have been deterrent. The Air Force people, Air Force Afghans, they got in their planes and they fled. And that's also on the news. One of them got shot down. One of them was by another country. They went to other countries that didn't know they were coming.
Mm-hmm.
So they were defenseless against them. And then they captured them all, put them in prisons, and all they had was cabbage in one country. That's all they had to eat. And they know who they were, just that they violated the airspace, kind of like not what happens here in this country, right, where people come across the border.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely not.
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh. Yeah.
Okay. So, people don't play. You don't cross the border of any foreign country anywhere except for this one. If you and I came from Mexico, they would stop us, right?
Yeah.
If you look like a migrant, then you're okay. Because they have the guard down there, National Guard down there. That's not their purpose. They shouldn't be down there. Plus your hands are tied. But in other countries, just like that, the planes went there. We had one of our planes crash into a mountain, and that was on the news as well. And our pilots got captured, and it's just craziness. And the planes are still over there, I guess. I don't know. I haven't heard. They showed pictures of the planes that are there. And I remember I was part of that program. It's very sad. It's something that, personally, I'm affected by this. So it took me, I was moved from that program, put in another one. It took me like a month to get over it. It was that bad. You realize the consequences of the people that you work with. And, we had contractors over there. The contractors got out like 3 days before it happened.
Yep.
So,
you're talking about solutions and so on and so forth. Right now, it was on national news 2 days ago that refugees from Afghanistan that were sent to the Nashville area, Tennessee, there were only authorized 1 year. Now they're all scrambling to try and get their visas or whatever renewed because they were told, you have 1 year free to be here. After that, you're on your own, And I'm going, really? We brought them over here, but yet we're still treating them, like we don't want them.
Those are the luckiest people in the world right there, the ones that got on the planes, the Afghans.
Yeah.
They are, and they're very, I've heard some of them are very grateful. They're very happy. But some are unvetted, but there's other people. I've heard stories that they're very, except their family's not with them or whatever, but
Right.
You can't make things happen. It is what it is, unfortunately. And I know, that from Vietnam, those kind of things you have no control over, but I believe the whole premise of this is at this 1 year anniversary, I believe it could have been done better. And my solutions would have been to create an enclave at Bagram Air Base. This is not anything the military is talking about. This is my own training enclave, a 90-day rotation, 12 months a year, small force, enough to deter whoever's thinking that they can do anything. And also, they have got security already. They had security in place. There was a coalition of all kinds of people there,
right.
All kinds of other countries that were there. It wasn't just the U.S., and people probably don't realize it. I mean, a lot of NATO countries were there. You can make this. It doesn't have to be the United States. That's the thing. It could be anybody. It's an international coalition. And that's the way. I mean, this is like any other deployment you go on now. If you go to over to the Middle East or other parts of the world, they have. It's not just you. It's not just Americans. It's always foreign countries that you work with. And, you know, England's always there, right? Wherever we go, England's always there.
Yep.
Usually. And, I mean, this is something that a lot of people don't understand. It's not just, it's like the caller. It's not just, you know, us. We weren't the only ones over there.
Right.
There's a lot of other countries that were there. And a lot of people come in and out, and they go. So it doesn't have to be the U.S. The U.S. could have stayed out completely. They could have withdrew. But, you know, and all they had was, and Americans weren't even doing the security, you know, of the bases and everything. It was another country that was doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So it really didn't need to be. And they could have done that. They could have continued it. But you need a force there. I think that would have been the answer there. Okay, you know, 30 days here, 90 days there, maybe more than that. Your army or whatever, you got different armies from different countries. You could have worked out great. But it doesn't have to be.
It goes back to that 2,500 I was saying earlier. That enclave would just be enough to, you know, to show force or be force if needed.
Yes, and you know, they also had the Navy off the coast, off the shore there, that they were doing their own thing in country. U.S. Navy was there. This has a lot more, I mean, a lot of things could have happened. I think things could have grown, and their military would have been more secure, and they could have grown. And they actually could, in my opinion, they could have become self-sustaining, and they could have made things happen on their own, just with the enclave there, because they really lean on, a lot of countries lean on us, like people don't realize, because we made all the decisions, we go places, and we're in charge, U.S. is in charge, but anybody could have done this, they do their own stuff, and it's not that you're at war, it's just like any other enclave, you go there, you train, and you leave, next people come in. And it's really good for anybody. I mean, it's a real-life scenario and everything. You know, it's just like cargo planes. Everything went through that base. It was incredible. That 747 that crashed because it's loaded wrong, that was a contract aircraft. I don't know if you saw that video on YouTube or anything.
No, but I'll look it up.
It was loaded incorrectly, and it just fell out of the sky, tail first.
Mm.
It was terrible, but that happened over there. But that's a different story. It's just, there's so many things. That place was hopping, and it was good for the economy. So, you know, some places where it's where the base is like the biggest provider of the economy, and that wasn't the case there. They had a thriving downtown and everything. They had lots of stuff going on. They have their own type of FAA. They have their own little world. I'm pretty sure all that's gone now. So the consequences, the biggest one is Afghanistan is done, is gone. They had their own industries and everything. Now it's like it's been obliterated in one afternoon. On one drill weekend, it's gone.
Yep. Went back 20 years in time.
Yes, and it's really, and you think about it, it's not really, I mean, the fighting and all the deaths, the tragedies that we had with all our troops that were over there, that's all gone under the last administration, that disappeared, okay? So this was a good place. This was a dropping off starting point to say, hey, we need to do this. But unfortunately, it didn't happen. And yeah, I'm not saying what the plans were, but unfortunately it did not happen. It just poof, it's gone.
Yep.
So excuses, avoiding the anniversary. This should have been a huge victory. This should have been something it's not. And now it's a disgrace. Tail between the legs. Russia saw you. China saw you. All these countries. North Korea saw you. So they started firing you. What are you going to do? You're not going to do anything. You didn't do anything in Afghanistan. So that's the one thing you don't want to have happen, as you know. You don't want other people to see you do anything like that. You don't make it. You don't let it happen. Just
no.
Follow. I'm telling you, like, you know this. There are geniuses in the Pentagon. They didn't use any of those guys.
No. No, they don't. They don't. They don't listen to, like, you and I are both military. So military
right.
speaks. Do they listen? No, they listen more to the politicians and to the people with the money.
Yeah.
In my
right.
mind, you know, yeah. I'm not saying the military is always right. Yeah.
Right. You're right.
Yeah. But, some of the people in the Joint Chiefs are more politicians than they are military, too, sometimes.
Right. Yeah, just like Milley. You got to be a politician when you get to that level, unfortunately. Not all of them are like that, but if you want to get to the top,
right.
if you want to be the guy, then you have to play politics.
Exactly.
You want to be the guy in charge of your whole service, then yeah. But there's a lot of great people, a lot of good people, and a lot of people who won't do what they want them to do.
Yeah.
It's like each president has their own, you know, who they want to do what they have to do. Mm-hmm. And I remember back in the second time I went to Toledo, it was all about the 180th at the time. When Obama was president, it was about cross-dressing and gay and lesbian marriages. And that, I saw the things that were happening, and as soon as that was passed, it was like people were coming out of the woodwork, getting married or whatever. But, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then they had guys that were dressing up in, you know, women's clothes. And I hear that was happening in our old stomping grounds in Arizona. That there's a guy with a mustache would wear a dress or woman's clothes on drill weekend.
Yeah.
And it's distracting. And, you know, you guys are sleeping together. You're showering together and you're doing all this stuff. People, it has nothing to do with your job. It's all about, it's a team effort to do whatever your mission is. It's not about that. And then that got rid of under President Trump, and I think that was just a big distraction. It has nothing. Your job is to kill people and break things. That's what people say.
mm-hmm.
But that's your job. It's not about. So I don't care. It's like when you're a chief master sergeant. I don't care about your feelings, and I know you probably. I don't care about your feelings. I remember. I know you said this kind of stuff. I don't care what you think. This is your job. Just do it.
That's right. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
And I had to do that myself. I learned from you, you know. Yeah. I don't care about the weather or anything. Just go out there and do it. Get it done. You know, it doesn't mm-hmm. you do not belong to yourself. Service for self. And you don't have any feelings. Yeah. I don't care what your feelings are. This it's all about the mission. Right, and that's what I like about the military. I don't like this other stuff coming in, and they're dictating, you know, we should like this, and it's in the training now. It's in the training. They're bringing that stuff
mm-hmm.
up. After Biden got elected, it's like, okay, we're having an LGBT thing. It's like, no. And I don't know many people show up, but it's like the whole, not the purpose of the military. So
well,
you have anything
the military,
to say, last thing?
Just the military. I just saw it on one of my defense bulletins I get where the military, all military now, is having trouble recruiting people. And because they don't understand Generation Z or whatever we got now, that
right,
they're trying to recruit through using YouTube and stuff like that, you know, to
wow,
tell the people what's going on. But yeah, it's a distraction. You know, I'm old school, and I'll admit it. It is a distraction. You know, some of the things that are going on. Yeah, a lot of these people will never be mobility, be able to be on mobility because they're always not going to be on medicines or whatever.
Right.
You know, for their, yeah. So you're tasking other people to do more of a job. Because some people just won't be able to do it. Distraction.
Right. Got it. So, like basic training, I can't even imagine that now because if they let somebody transgender in, they will get beat down in the shower.
Yeah.
That's like old school.
Yeah.
My dad said they used to have fights in basic training, and the TIs would like say, hey, go ahead. You guys can take your fight outside kind of thing.
Yeah.
Those are the... You probably had the same thing, right?
Yeah, not that much, but yeah. They just charged a transgender, again, I'm going back to the news in Nashville. He was a transgender who wound up, I think it was Nashville, but he went in and, never mind. It was a transgender that was in a women's prison. Got some of the inmates got him pregnant.
Yes, I read about that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. How's that work for him? Wow.
Yeah. You can come into my bathroom, not while I'm in there. You can't.
Right. So, what do you think about that? A WNBA guy posing as a woman in Russia.
Yeah, isn't that something?
So I don't get that at all. But there are pictures of that person with no shirt on and as a guy. So that's the biggest woman, tallest woman in the world if that is a woman. So anyway, the point is it's just like the woman of the year for collegiate swimmers is a guy. This stuff can't
mm-hmm.
go on. This woke stuff, this doesn't work for Disney either. I mean, they're losing money. Everything they make is not working for them because nobody wants to see it. Nobody, I think, it's like this illusion that everybody wants to see this kind of stuff. But, you know, I just got off track. I got way off track from Afghanistan, but
it's
all related.
Well, it's related to the world today, bottom line, you know, and that's still goes back to what we're doing in Afghanistan, what we're doing in the world, you know, how people see us, you know, it's all
right.
Related.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. The Olympic Committee, didn't the Olympic Committee say that you can compete at what you were prior to your 12th birthday?
Whoa.
Something like that. So, so people that are going transgender after puberty have to compete with what they were at before their 12th birthday. Yep.
Wow. So this is so upside down. Right is wrong. Wrong is right. Good is bad. Bad is good. And, you know, if you're a patriot, you're the enemy of this country.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. I mean, you know, it's just like Orwellian thought, you know, it's 1984.
Mm-hmm.
They change the terms
exactly.
on the fly and then go with it. Yeah, that's one of the best movies, Animal Farm. If you haven't seen 1984, you got to go out and see that. You gotta,
yeah,
it's
1984.
Pretty
awesome.
Yeah,
I think we read the book in 1984,
Yes, right.
In school.
So,
Chief.
I'm going to let you go.
Yes.
If you have anything you want to say, or I appreciate you coming on this program tonight and being the stand-in guest. I appreciate it so much. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I hope I didn't lead you astray too much or get the audience all riled up, but, you know, it is what it is again, Kevin. It is what it is.
Hey, I made my own bed, right? I'm sleeping.
That's
in
it. Yeah. That's it.
So thank you for being on the American Legion show. This is your second time, I believe. No, it might be your third. I can't remember now.
Second.
And
second.
Thank you for your service. Like I said, Vietnam vets, I hold them high in my heart and my head because they did something just like WW2 vets, things that I didn't do, I couldn't do. I have the opportunity, but I really appreciate what you guys do, what you did. And the stuff you came back to is...
Yeah, that's what we talked about before.
Atrocious.
Yeah.
But I appreciate having you on. Hope to have you on again some other time. You're going to be my permanent stand-in, maybe. This is last minute because it's like, well, what are we going to do? What am I going to do?
Yeah, well, I just got home about 20 minutes before you called. So,
Hey, my guy canceled the last second. I want to do Afghanistan. I was going to do it by myself, but it's good to have somebody to feedback on, you know. I know enough about it. And we got a caller, and everything was beautiful. It was absolutely delicious. It had a lot of flavor to it this time. When you talk by yourself, it's like, you're like tap dancing almost. So, anyway, thanks. I appreciate you coming on, and I'll see you later. I'll talk to you later, sir.
All right. Thank you, sir. Good night.
Unless you want to hang on, you can talk. You want to carry us out? We got 2 minutes left. It's up to you.
Oh, yeah.
You can be the host.
I don't care. Yeah.
Yeah. So, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to bring up, you were talking about Vietnam vets and the fact that, you know, I did most of my time in Thailand. The PACT Act that just got passed finally recognizes all troops stationed in Thailand aboard ships, so on and so forth. We now have the same coverage as boots on the ground in Vietnam.
Wow, that's awesome. That's the way it should be.
Yeah, it's been a long fight. People have been fighting this for years because I think I said in my last show that last time I was on with you that you had to prove that you were exposed to Agent Orange. Well, how do you do that? It's almost impossible. But security forces that were on the perimeter could get it. Well, when I went from the tanker side to the B-52 side, guess what road we had to take? The perimeter road and go through the same checkpoint that the security forces were in. But yet we were, you know, a lot of people, not me because I don't have the symptoms, but a lot of people were denied access to VA care for Agent Orange because of, you know, just it made no sense to me. So I'm glad, if nothing else, the PACT Act passed. And John Stewart, he's the man, you know. And, a lot of things got done that, you know, I hope I never have to use Agent Orange as one of my, you know, problems, but it's there if I need it now.
If you can. We have 30 seconds left. This is the end of the – you can stay on. I don't care. Nobody's listening anyway. Just kidding. Next week, a different guest, another politician. We're going to have somebody running for Congress. It's always great to interview those guys. But anyway, thank you for listening to the American Legion Show. Your host, Kevin White, and our guest, 10 seconds, Robert Reinecker. Everybody have a great day, and God bless America. Go Guard.
Good night.
Okay, we're still on. We're still on. So thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
They can't hear us now.
So
thanks for coming in at the last second. What happened to Mac? Mac did the second time he's done this for me. Did he do it last time with you? Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he came on. Yeah. Yeah, he came on.
Okay. Right. Yeah.
Well,
anyway.
One of the reasons I came on to is because you said Mac's going to be on. I said, okay, I'll drop what I'm doing. Like I say, I just got back from running into town, and I was only maybe 20 minutes when you texted me. So I said, well, all right.
Wow.
I'll grab something to eat real quick Because like you say, we're behind you.
Well, wow. I'm sorry. Sorry about that.
No, that's all right.
You know,
I didn't want to let you down.
And Mac, I told Mac that you're going to be on. He's like, oh, cool. And then he didn't show me. It's like the second time.
Yeah.
So
that's
anyway,
all right.
It's cool. No. I enjoyed our conversation and our talk and your opinions and the caller, too. I think the caller was great. I enjoyed his
conversation. He was. He was good. Yeah. He brought up a lot of good points. Yeah.
And like yes. Yes, sir.
I was going to say, make sure you say hi to your lovely wife, Carolyn, for me.
Hey, you tell Karen I over-borrowed you, and I apologize.
No, that's all right. You did fine. If I didn't want to do it, I could have said, I got to go now, you know.
Right. Okay, cool. Well, thanks a lot, Chief. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Kevin. Anytime. Oh,
you're
hey,
good.
Since we're off the air.
Huh?
Since we're off the air, I guess it rained on you in Seattle, huh? Like I told you it probably would.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That was a dirty city. It was like there's homeless people like in the medians of the freeway. It was crazy.
You ought to see Nashville. Oh.
Oh, yeah?
Tennessee is bad. You know what Nashville
really?
Does? They have so many homeless, they put them on a bus, give them $50, and send them to all these towns that surround them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah, that's
something.
Terrible. I like to do a show about this, about the immigrants that come through Texas that they're sending to Texas and Florida. They send them to D.C. and New York. So the mayor of New York City is livid. We don't have this. We don't have all this. But like, it's okay for them to go to Texas, but it's not okay to go there. I love what Texas and Florida are doing. I think that's awesome.
Oh, I do too.
It's a lot
of fun. They talk. They say, yeah, we support you guys down there till it happens to them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not in my backyard. I love
not
it.
In my
I
backyard,
have to do a show about that.
All right,
I also wind up another Marine guy too. So, but he didn't come on.
Okay.
So people are usually busy on Wednesday nights anyway. But all right, thanks a lot.
You're welcome, my man. Anytime.
I appreciate it. Your new name is Standby, Chief Standby. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Kev. Have a good one.
All right, you too, sir. Bye.
Bye. Yeah. Bye.